Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 115, Pâte à Choux. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host. And this is the podcast that's all about home cooking and getting into the kitchen, having more fun, learning new things, baking and cooking up memories with your family and your friends. And today, actually, we're going to be putting on our baking caps because I want to talk about something I've been a little bit obsessed with in the last few weeks. But before we get there, I want to remind you, if you'd like to send me a message over to the show, you can always do so over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Always happy to hear from you. And love to chit-chat over email, respond to all my emails. So if you're curious, have some questions, or just want to share a story about your cooking adventures, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Send one over. Well, our family cook-off is coming up in a couple of weeks, and we'll be hosting it here at our house. I've talked about this on the show before. This is where our family gets together, my siblings, nieces, nephews, things like that. And we get together, and we have a theme, and we have a little bit of a friendly family competition where we do kind of a cooking challenge, and then we judge and vote, and we have winners and prizes and all that kind of stuff. And we've done it for, gosh, I think five years or at least five times. This might be our sixth, if I'm remembering right. So for the past few weeks, I've been kind of racking my brain and trying to come up with what I'm going to make. And I finally settled on something. And then I've been in the fast and furious practice mode, trying different recipes, trying different variations. So I've been busy with that. As you can tell, our family's a bit competitive. We take this pretty seriously. At least some of us do. I like to practice a lot, and my wife gets really into it. And in fact, she's usually, she's not winning the thing. She's usually in the top couple places. So pretty exciting here. My brother is going to be coming in from Denver. Got some other family in the state that'll be converging on our house in a couple of weeks on a Saturday to do this thing. Now, I'm bringing this up because this is sort of the focus of the episode today and what I want to talk about. The theme for this year's cook-off is foods that are stuffed. As I'm thinking through what it is I want to make, I started thinking back to foods that my mom would make, and I thought, well, it's a family cook-off, so what recipes can I go back and kind of revisit, maybe reinvent or update, or just use straight away for this foods that are stuffed family cook-off challenge? And I came up with something that's not so much stuffed as it is filled, and that's, I think, is going to work just fine. But my mom, on rare occasions, would make an old German treat known as cream puffs. And now these take on a lot of different shapes and forms and variations through different cuisines and cultures. But generally, the cream puff that I was used to growing up with was kind of a big, kind of a funky-looking bun, almost, that was sliced in half, filled with whipped cream, and then reassembled almost like a hamburger shape, right? So you got like a bun on the bottom, whipped cream in the middle, and a bun on top, and those were cream puffs. Delicious. And I thought, well, maybe I'll look into how to make a cream puff that's less cut in half and, you know, reassembled as one that's filled or stuffed with some sort of a filling. So that's what I started looking into. And I'm not a baker, really. I've mentioned this before on the show. Baking is not my strong suit, so I think this is a bit of a stretch for me. I know my family won't be expecting it, probably, because I usually go savory with my dishes at our annual cook-off event. But I decided to go sweet, and I decided to give cream puffs a shot. So the topic on today's episode is pâte à choux, or choux pastry, and it's not choux like S-H-O-E. That sounds terrible. It's a French word, C-H-O-U-X. But pâte à choux, or choux pastry, is a sort of a different, and I won't say complicated, but it's definitely a different type of a pastry dough than you might be used to thinking about. What's really cool about this pastry dough is that once you kind of figure out how to make it, it can be used to make all sorts of things. Cream puffs is just one thing, but it's also the dough that's used to make things like eclairs or French crullers or beignets or even on the savory side of the spectrum, you've got cheese balls or gougères. So once you figure out how to make pâte à choux, which is, again, fairly simple if you know the right steps to take, you have this great wide variety of treats you can make from that point on. So today, I thought, I've tried making pâte à choux now about 7 or 8 times, different ways, different recipes, different variations. So I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on it. And really, it's a lot of fun to make. So I want to cover that today in a little bit of a twist here. We're going to go into the sweeter side in the baking realm for today's episode. So without further ado, let's jump right into pâte à choux. Now, what I love about pâte à choux and this particular dough, this pastry dough, is it's a unique pastry dough and it's very simple. It only has a handful of very common ingredients. We're talking water, butter, salt, sugar, flour, and eggs. In some recipes, you might run across some milk, but the recipe I've kind of settled on that I've put together doesn't use milk. It just uses those simple ingredients. The magic comes along in how you prepare and combine all those ingredients together, because one of the interesting characteristics of pâte à choux or choux pastry is it has the characteristic light as air and its puffiness. So when you make, for example, a ball of this dough and you bake it, it puffs up into what you can use as a cream puff. But the interesting thing about it is this little ball is very light and it's nearly hollow. So it expands and it creates space inside the puff itself as it bakes. And it doesn't do this through any sort of a leavening agent like yeast. It simply does it because of the moisture content in the dough allows steam to occur while it's baking, and it causes it to expand and create these pockets inside of whatever shape it is you're making. So it makes them very light. It makes them very adaptable to cutting open and filling or injecting, you know, stuffing things into them. And it's not an overly sweet dough on its own. So you really have the latitude to go sweet or savory with these. But once you figure out the basic recipe, it's really a lot of fun to work with. Now, everything I talk about here, I'm going to put over on the website at kitchencounterpodcast.com/115. That'll get you over to the show notes for this episode. And on the last batch I made was kind of a redo of the recipe I've settled on and the process I've settled on. So I took some pictures, so I'll include those as well on the blog post so you can go over and get an idea of some of the things I'm talking about as I'm explaining up this particular dough. Now, you don't really need any fancy equipment. Everything I talk about here can be done with good old-fashioned elbow grease and a mixing spoon. But if you do have something like a KitchenAid or some sort of a stand mixer with a paddle attachment, that'll come in handy. If you have piping bags with tips, that will come in handy as well. Though, again, not necessary to make a choux, pâte à choux at all. It just makes it a little bit easier, a little bit more controlled, but certainly can be done with just the most basic utensils. Now, as I explain this pâte à choux process, keep in mind, again, as I mentioned at the beginning, you can use these for cream puffs, eclairs, beignets, crullers, which means you can bake this dough or you can deep fry it. In the case, if you want to make crullers, for example, or beignets, you can actually pipe out a shape onto some parchment paper and use that to drop it into some hot oil, for example, if you want to fry up something. So when I'm talking about the pâte à choux process, it's pretty much standard. And then at the end, depending on if you're going to pipe it onto a baking sheet or deep fry it, depending on what you're going to make, that's when you'll kind of branch off for some variations. And I'll include some links to some interesting recipes and web pages I've found with some other things beyond just your basic cream puffs. Towards the end of this episode, I'll mention them, and then I'll also, again, include them over on the show notes. Now, as I mentioned, I've gone through a few different recipes to try to figure out what actually works, because the first couple I did didn't turn out quite right. They didn't turn out puffy and hollow. They turned out kind of bready in the middle. There wasn't really any room to add a filling. So as I experimented, watched a lot of videos, read a lot of different articles on this pâte à choux, I kind of came up with one that works for me really well. And I think if you just follow these steps, it's going to work for you fantastically as well. So I mentioned the ingredients. So to make about 25 or so ping pong ball sized cream puffs, I use 1 cup of water, 1 stick of butter, that's about a half cup of butter, 1/2 teaspoon of coarse salt, 1 teaspoon of granulated sugar, 1 cup of all-purpose flour, and 4 whole large eggs. Now, the magic I mentioned in this recipe comes in the process and the way you put your choux dough together. You can't just mix it all together and it's good to go. The process and the steps are fairly precise, and they're going to go a long way in determining how your dough puffs up when you go to bake it or fry it. First thing you want to do is preheat your oven. In this case, if you're making cream puffs, you're going to want to preheat to 375 Fahrenheit. Then in a medium saucepan, you're going to combine your water. You're going to combine all of the butter and chop it up into chunks so it melts faster. So your water, your butter, your salt, and your sugar is going to go into a saucepan on medium-high heat, and you're going to want to bring that to a boil so the butter is melted. As soon as you get everything to a boil, you're going to go ahead and drop in your 1 cup of all-purpose flour and start stirring right on the heat there. So you're going to stir. It's going to get clumpy and bumpy, but eventually it's going to start incorporating, and you'll get a nice sort of a glossy looking dough, and it'll start pulling away from the sides of the pan. Now, the trick here, if your stovetop runs a little hot, you might want to drop it down to medium heat here, but you want to mix this dough for a couple of minutes. The key here is when at the bottom of your pan, you start seeing a glaze, or the bottom of your pan starts getting sort of a frost on it from the dough, you've cooked it the right length of time. Okay, so I'll include some pictures on the show notes to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, but we're only talking a couple of minutes. Then you should have a pretty good stiff or nice consistency dough. At this point, I'm just going to give you the instructions for using a KitchenAid stand mixer with a paddle attachment. You're going to want to take that dough, remove it from the heat, and either put it in your KitchenAid bowl and let it sit for 4, 5, or 6 minutes or so just to cool down a little bit. And you might want to stir it a couple of times just to help the steam evacuate from that, because if it just sits in a ball in the bottom of a bowl, it won't cool down nearly as quickly as if you mix it up a couple of times and let that steam get out of there. If you're going to do this by hand, just pop it in a separate mixing bowl and let it cool as well. With your KitchenAid stand mixer with the paddle attachment ready to go, what you want to do after you've let the dough cool just a little bit is you want to start incorporating the eggs, but you want to do them one at a time. And what I do is I just get a large measuring cup and I crack 4 eggs in it, and that way I can just pour one in at a time as I'm going. But you're going to want to turn the mixer on maybe the 2 or 3 setting, sort of a medium low, and start mixing that dough. And then you're going to drop an egg in one at a time. And a weird thing's going to happen. Your dough is going to look like it's coming apart and separating and sort of turning into wet little lumps. It's not going to look anything like it did when it started. But just keep at it. After about 35, 45 seconds, it'll come back together into sort of this glossy, more firm dough. When it gets to that point, you're ready to add your second egg. Now, as you add every egg, it's going to break apart again. It's going to look terrible. But just know, as you mix it, it will come back together, solidify, and at that point, you just add the next egg until you've used all 4 eggs. This is the exact same thing that you do if you're doing it by hand with like a mixing spoon. It's just going to take a lot more elbow grease. Just keep at it and don't add the other eggs until your dough has come back together. So what's going to happen as you're mixing and you get your last egg in there and you've got, it breaks apart and it comes back together, you're going to have this really nice, glassy, glossy looking golden colored, I can't even say it's a dough and I can't say it's a batter. It's kind of a cross between the two. It's almost as if it's, It's not a batter in the sense that it's not runny. It's more of a stiff peak type of a batter, meaning that if you pinch a little bit between your fingers, it won't drip off your fingers, but it'll keep like stiff peaks of the dough between your fingers, if that makes sense. So it's not so thin that it's a batter and it runs all over the place, but it's not so thick that you couldn't pipe it through a piping tip, a big piping tip in a piping bag. Now, at that point, you're going to be ready to use the dough. You're done after that last egg goes in and everything comes back together and you've got a nice glossy looking dough. Now, the things in that process that make this dough the magic that it is are a couple of things. One, when you bring that water and the butter to a boil and you add that flour in at that time and start mixing, boiling water and flour will have it'll cause the starches in the flour to react, and it's going to actually hold in more moisture than it ordinarily would if you just mixed water and flour together cold. And that's going to be important later on because you want your dough to have some of that moisture trapped inside of it. And then by adding the eggs one at a time and not adding another egg until the first one is completely incorporated and the dough comes back together, that is also important because that gives your dough a very smooth, rich consistency that's going to be great. And it's going to give you the puffiness and the airiness that you're going to need in a choux pastry dough. Now, here's what I do. If I'm making cream puffs, I like to use a pastry bag with about a half inch pastry tip because you'll be able to squeeze out nice inch and a half round blobs of this choux pastry all over your parchment paper on your baking sheet fairly easily. If you don't have a piping bag with a tip, you can do a couple of things. You can hack it and you can take like a 1 gallon Ziploc freezer bag and cut about a half inch hole in one of the corners of the bag. And you could just put your pâte à choux in the bag, Ziploc it shut, and squeeze through the hole that you cut. And you can do a pretty decent job making your rounds for cream puffs that way. Or you can just go rustic and grab a couple of teaspoons and, make little drops of, egg drops or spoon drop size, little piles of the pâte à choux right on the parchment paper. And that'll work fine too. I just like to use the pastry bag and the tips for a little more uniformity. I think they look a little nicer. They come out a little more round. But again, it's just more of an aesthetic thing. It's not going to affect the flavor or really how it bakes up at all. The key here is you don't want to go too big. You don't want to go more than like an inch and a half circle because it's going to take a lot longer to cook. And the larger your puffs are, the more likely they are to not be done in the center and the more likely they are to fall and collapse as they're baking. So the one and a half inch circles piped out or spooned out will result again in something that's maybe ping pong or golf ball sized choux pastry puffs when you're done. Now, as you're putting these down or piping them out, you might end up with little peaks that stick up. Take a little bit of water and wet your finger and just kind of tap down those peaks because they will burn if there's little peaks sticking up in the oven. So you want these to be somewhat round and smooth, not little jagged edges sticking up to burn. And then lastly, I like to take just an egg wash, just a beaten egg and a little bit of water mixed together. And I like to brush that over the top of all of my choux pastry pipings. And that will give it a nice golden brown consistency. Then into the oven they go for about 25 to 30 minutes. Resist the urge at all costs to open the oven door while they're baking. Doing that can cause them to fall. So I put them in there and I turn the oven light on. I just keep an eye on them. I put the timer on for 25 minutes. At that point, if they don't look quite golden brown enough, I'll put the timer back on for another 5 minutes. And then I bring them out, put them on a cooling rack, and in about a half an hour, you're ready to work with them. Now, what's really cool about these cream puffs made from the pâte à choux is that you're going to notice that when you pick them up, they are incredibly light. They're almost weightless. That, again, is because as they bake, the steam caused them to hollow out and puff up. So if you cut one in half, take a cross-section of one, you'll notice that there's probably going to be like one large cavity and maybe a couple smaller other cavities inside, but it's going to be mostly hollow, and that's why they're so light and so perfect to stuff things into them. Now, at this point, what I would do is I would grab, I would make some homemade whipped cream, a couple of cups of heavy whipping cream, and some powdered sugar, and beat that in the mixer until you get the nice stiff peak whipped cream. You could also, you know, buy whipped cream, but I basically put that into another paste, another piping bag with a small piping tip, and then you can simply pick up your cream puffs and tap the small piping tip into the bottom. It'll break through there. You just got to be gentle so you don't crush your cream puff. You can use a little knife to cut a little hole in the bottom first if you'd like. And then simply squeeze in your whipped cream, and you'll feel the cream puff getting heavy in your hand, and you know it's nice and full of that delicious whipped cream, and you can set it right back down. And you just finish that with the rest of them. Of course, you can dip them in chocolate or drizzle them with chocolate or caramel or powdered sugar. Really, the sky's the limit when you're thinking of how you want to finish these cream puffs. You could also fill them with something like a pastry cream, which, you know, whipped cream is just cream and sugar and whatever flavoring you put in it. A pastry cream is more of a custard. It's more of the type of cream you get in a filled donut, like a Bismarck. So you could make that and pipe those in as well. If you don't feel like piping into your cream puffs, just do the hamburger treatment, the bun treatment, slice them in half, fill them, and reassemble them, and make it so there's some of the whipped cream, for example, kind of pooching out the sides or squeezing out to give it a nice visual effect. If you're feeling particularly adventurous, you could even fill them with ice cream. That would be delicious. But again, the sky is really the limit here. Now, if you want to make other things, perhaps cream puffs aren't really your bag, you could make eclairs, and that is essentially the same thing, except you, instead of piping out 1.5-inch rounds, you pipe out maybe 4-inch long little tubes of the pâte à choux, of the choux pastry, before you bake them. If you want to make gougères, which are cheese puffs, you essentially pipe out your little 1.5-inch medallions of pâte à choux, and you sprinkle the top with cheese of your choice, like Gruyere or Fontina or Parmesan or whatever, and bake them. And then you'll end up with these nice savory bites, little puffy, light air gougères, these little cheese bites. And I mentioned earlier, too, if you want to make beignets or French curlers, you can do that as well with a little bit of hot oil. You can do some deep frying of your pâte à choux dough. But here's the best part. Once you figure out how to make pâte à choux, it's really simple, and it will absolutely impress everybody that you make it for, because they seem very complicated, very delicate. But you and I know that the magic is in the process to make the dough, and they're going to turn out fantastic for you every time. So there it is, pâte à choux. Now, I've laid out my big secret, my strategy for my family cook-off in a couple of weeks. Hopefully, none of my family members listen in and get a jump on what it is I'm making for the competition. But hey, if they do, oh well, I guess. It'll be a lot of fun anyway. But I am curious to know if you've ever tried to make a pâte à choux or choux pastry, and if you have, what your tips and tricks are, or what are some of your favorite fillings or toppings, or what are some of the other things that you like to make with this fluffy, light as air pastry. As I mentioned, kitchencounterpodcast.com/115 to get to the show notes for this episode and all of the pictures and my recipe, as well as links to some other variations, will be there. All right, everybody. Well, that does it for another episode. Thanks so much for hopping on and listen to my take on pâte à choux and cream puffs. Boy, if you do give it a shot, I hope you send over some pictures, because I'd love to see them. All right. One more time, if you'd like to get a hold of me, send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. And until next time, I'm Roger for the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.